Hello, and welcome back to the Automotive Podcast, the Automotive Engineering History Podcast. For this week's episode, I'm going to cover a kind of a funny little car. It was requested by a listener, so thank you for the request. I've heard of this car before it was requested, and I always really liked them. Didn't know much about them, and so looking into it was pretty fun. This car is the Nissan PAO. It is spelled P-A-O, and for the life of me, I want to call it the Nissan PO, but I guess I'm just a Kung Fu Panda fan, because it is pronounced PAO, not PO, and so throughout the episode, I will make sure, or at least try to, call it a PAO. Even though, like I said, every cell in my body wants to call it a PO. Anyway, moving on. The PAO is not powerful. It does not push the bounds of automotive engineering. It doesn't compete in automotive competition. It's a pretty simplistic, low-powered, chill little car. But it is a wonderful little car. It is pretty retro looking. It was designed actually in the 1980s, but if you just saw one on the street, at least personally, I would think it'd be from like the 1950s, maybe 1960s. Nissan decided to give it a retro look with some pretty modern features, which is just a pretty cool combination. As I said, it is a tiny car. It looks kind of like a Mini. But I guess the Japanese version of the Mini. It is adorable, it has a great personality, very small, cute little round headlights up front, a grill that some people say kind of looks like a Bentley grill, which I guess maybe, but you know, a nicely designed grill. It's a hatch, so it's three doors, it actually has a tailgate, like a pickup that swings down, and it's an oddity. I mean, really the appeal of the car is that it is like nothing else on the road. It's a fairly modern car that doesn't look modern. It's a tiny car in a world filled with big cars. So if you just like uniqueness, the Nissan PAO is a great car for that appeal. It's really, really kind of weird. The name PAO comes from the Chinese word for a Mongolian mobile dwelling. So I guess a little mini home, if you will. Interestingly, the car has very little Nissan branding on it. There's just one little Nissan name above the PAO logo. So if you don't know this car specifically, it's pretty easy to think that it's a British car. It looks British, and it's small, like a lot of British cars are. And the reason for the limited Nissan branding is that the Nissan PAO was a Pike car, and Pike cars were made by Nissan, but at the Pike factory. There were several different Pike cars, the PAO being one of them. In total, there were four different Pike cars. These cars included the Figaro, the BE1, the PAO, obviously, and a car called the S-Cargo, which of course looked like a snail, and they named it S-Cargo. So I guess a nice little joke by Nissan. But the idea behind all of these cars, all of them being referred to as Pike cars, is that they were retro designs that would be made in very limited quantity, and they would all be built at the Pike factory. The Pike factory was a subdivision of Nissan, it was kind of its own entity, and so the cars had very limited Nissan branding because they were seen as Pike cars. They were made by Pike. Which ultimately was Nissan, but that's not what Nissan was going for. Nissan wanted to create a little niche market of kind of hipster, retro, small little cars, and that doesn't really fit well with Nissan, so really these are Pike cars. As I said, the cars are designed kind of retro, kind of hipster. The designer of the car actually said that the design was inspired by the clothing brand Banana Republic. They all have pastel colors. They're all very cute, they're all very happy cars, and they really were designed to fit with the Japanese market. Small cars, fuel efficient, could get around well in cities, and were, well, adorable, to be honest. The very first Pike car was the Nissan BE-1. It was introduced in 1985. The POW was the second Pike car, and it was introduced in 1989. The POW would be in production until the end of 1991. The car was only sold in Japan, so in the United States, they are pretty rare. The Pike cars in general made a big splash. People really went crazy for these retro, cute little cars, and pre-orders were so high that Nissan had to use a lottery system to determine who would be able to buy the BE-1. This success continued with the Nissan POW. It was sold out almost immediately. Nissan was not going to mass produce these cars. They set a limited quantity, and if those sold, then that was it. They set the number at around 50,000 units, and 50,000 POWs were sold in just 3 months, just pre-orders. And so then they spent the next couple years making them and delivering them to people. So if you weren't there at the initial time that this car was announced, you had no chance to get one. They were all gone in just 3 months. These cars look extremely classic on the outside and on the inside. They feature a very clean and simple dash, all physical flip switches, a classic-looking steering wheel, and a retro-looking cassette player. For when they came out, you know, cassette was definitely with the times, that's what people were using, but they made their cassette player look older, and it fit with the theme of the car overall. The car is right-hand drive only, because it was sold in Japan only, and gauges are limited. It just has one big, simple monopod speedometer with temp and fuel gauges as part of this speedometer. So really very simple, very clean, just smooth, and not much to it. Very much retro design, and personally, I think it looks amazing. The POW could be bought with a canvas top, making it kind of a convertible. This canvas top was powered, so you could use an electric motor to slide the canvas up or down, whichever you preferred. There was a version sold without the canvas top, although nowadays the canvas top versions are the more desirable. So if you are looking to get one and you want it to retain more value, or you just like the canvas top, that is the one to get, because they are considered more valuable, probably just because they're more rare. So I said the car was small, and it is very small, but let's throw some numbers. Let's quantify that. The POW is 147.2 inches long and 61.8 inches wide. To put that in perspective, the POW is 7 inches shorter than a Mazda MX-5, which is a famously small car. The small size also means, obviously, that the car is very lightweight. It weighs just 1,600 pounds, 700 pounds lighter than the MX-5 Miata. So it is a teeny, teeny little car. The tininess of the car also translates to the tires. This car rides on 12-inch tires, and these tiny little tires can be pretty hard to find because not much else uses 12-inch tires. This is one of the downsides of driving this car, is the tires can be hard to get when you need to replace them. There are other downsides, and we will get to those in just a sec. The other benefit of a small car is it's fuel efficient. You don't need all that much fuel to get it to go, because there's not all that much to move. This car can get 51 miles per gallon in the city, and an amazing 79 miles per gallon at 37 miles per hour. And now comes the downsides. It's small, it's efficient, and what does that mean? It means a really tiny engine. the POW uses a 987cc, so less than 1 liter, water-cooled inline-4 engine. The power figures? About 51 horsepower at 6,000 RPM and 55 foot-pounds of torque at 3,600 RPM. Although some believe that these numbers, which were given by Nissan, are actually the power to the crank and not to the wheels. One guy that was reviewing a POW actually dynoed the car, and that car made an amazing 34 horsepower. So they are very low on power. Due to them being so lightweight, they can actually cruise at modern speeds. You can get a POW up to 70, 75 miles per hour, but it takes a long time to get there, and the engine really doesn't like it. You are pushing the engine pretty much as hard as it can go, and it can do it. It's just not super happy about it. The engines are carbureted. It did come out in the late 1980s. It's a one-barrel carburetor, so pretty small. I mean, obviously the engine does not need a lot of fuel, so small carburetor. It is front-wheel drive, as you would guess. Very much like a Mini, it has a transversely mounted engine. And that's really the downsides of the POW for a modern car. It's really slow. Yes, it can do it. If you want to do this, if you want to use one, you definitely can. And if you're in a big city like New York, Los Angeles, or anything where you don't go on highways all that much, this would actually be an awesome city car. It's efficient. It runs well at low speeds. It's pretty happy there because obviously that's where it kind of was designed to operate. It's from Japan and they were kind of making this as a city car. It's surprisingly roomy. I mean, it's not a big car. You don't have like a ton of storage, but because everything's so simple, there's no airbags, there's not pretty much anything to take up space inside the car, you have a fair amount of storage available to you. So if you want to use this as kind of a city car, it's actually really, really good. If you want to take it on the highway, it's not going to be as good. You're going to have to be a little patient to use it in that setting. There are a lot of modern features that come with the POW that help it be a reasonable car for modern day. It has power steering, although doesn't really seem like it needs it because it is so lightweight and so tiny. It's not hard to turn this car, but it does have power steering. It has an incredibly tight turning radius. Again, as you'd expect, it's a tiny, tiny little car. Steering is rack and pinion. It has a height adjustable driver's seat. It has independent suspension that uses struts in the front and four link coil springs in the rear. So a fairly modern suspension system. It is not a high-performance suspension system, and it can be a little loose. People that drove this car said it's a bit wobbly and kind of all over the place. So suspension is not super well-designed, but compared to older cars, it's doing pretty well being all independent. Brakes are disc in the front and drum in the rear, which is plenty for such a light car. Transmission options, 3-speed automatic or 5-speed manual. The manual is much more desirable today, but it is the rarer of the two options. As I said, the POW was pretty limited in its production. Only 51,657 cars were made. This does make the POW the most common of all of the Pikes cars, but it is still not a super common car, especially in America, because it needs to be imported to the States, as it was only sold in Japan. The POW is a hard car to talk about on the podcast. And what I mean by that is it doesn't have crazy numbers. It doesn't have really cool engineering that I can talk about. It doesn't have, you know, cutting edge technology. But that doesn't mean it's a bad car. In fact, I really like the POW. I really want one. There is something very special about the retro design, the simplicity, but the fairly modern features. It's a wonderful car if what you're looking for is a unique car that will give you a unique driving experience. Not necessarily a good one. I mean, the suspension is pretty loose and it doesn't have a lot of power, but it can still be enjoyable. It's a little cruiser. Yeah, it's not a monster. It's not going to be super impressive to drive, but in some ways, maybe that's a benefit. You know, you just chill. Go out for a drive in your little Nissan POW and enjoy the road and enjoy the downhills, because the car is a lot happier going downhill than it is going uphill. That's going to be it for the Nissan POW. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you again to the listener who requested it. I always enjoy doing episodes requested by listeners. So if you want to request a certain car or race series or historical event or pretty much anything to do with cars, hit me up on my social media. My Instagram is automotive.podcast. My Facebook is at automotivepodcast. And my Twitter is at automotivepod. I try to post car facts and keep you guys up to date with the podcast. Been a little slow recently thanks to school, mostly just trying to get the podcast out there, but giving me a follow is appreciated and you will get updates on the podcast at least occasionally. Also, leaving a review or following the podcast on whichever platform you are listening is greatly appreciated and really helps the podcast out. Other than that, thank you again for listening, and I will see you next week.